And we're going to be taking our text this morning out of the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 8. We're going to look at verses 35 and 36. If you want to use the King James Bible in your pew, it's on page 396 in that Bible. Proverbs chapter 8, we're going to look at verses 35 and 36 in this very timely message today, a message that needs to be heard all across this land. And I'm sad to say it's not being preached very much from pulpits today. It's one that people really don't want to hear, but we need to hear what God's Word has to say. If you're able to stand this morning, I'd like to ask you to stand for reading God's Word, Proverbs chapter 8, starting with verse 35. And here the Bible says, "For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death." I'd like to preach for a few minutes this morning on the subject of God-hating baby killers. Father, thank you so much, Lord, for the message this morning, God, that you've put in our heart, Lord. It's causing a fire down in our bones, Lord, to be able to preach your word. I'm asking you now to hide me behind this pulpit today and let you be seen and visible. God, may your word go out and do a mighty work in us today, Lord. May we leave here knowing what a mighty God that we serve. For it's these things I ask in Jesus' name, and amen. You can be seated. Well, unless you've been living in seclusion this past week and have shunned all media outlets, television, radio, internet, or anything else like that, then you're very aware of some of the troubling things that's happened this past week. I have been preaching messages for the last 3 weeks, kind of unlike most of the messages I've ever preached in my entire ministry. And it's been ones that deal with current events that's going on in today's world, especially those that affect you and they affect me here personally. These affect every Christian, every person on the face of the earth. And like I said already, it's not being preached enough today in pulpits throughout this nation, especially here in the United States of America. We've become a nation of weak churches, a place where men will not stand up and say what thus saith the Lord. They will not get up and say what the Bible says. They want to pet people and scratch those ears and try to make them feel good about themselves and pet their sin and say everything is okay, whatever you're doing, keep doing it. God doesn't care. I want you to know today from God's holy, living, breathing Word, He cares. And we're going to say what he has to say about this topic this morning about God-hating baby killers. Not that God hates those baby killers, but people that hate God and their baby killers. Now, I know a lot of people don't want to hear such words, especially from the pulpit. Some people may say that this offends them, that maybe it was inappropriate to be said behind the pulpit. I want you to know today, if this offends you, I'm sorry, but we have to say what God's Word deals with the subject of sanctity of life and what He holds near and dear to His heart with babies and children. So, like I said, unless you've been unaware of things going on this past week and not watched the news, then you know what happened. As the association there, it was called the... let's see what the name of it was. The Center for Medical Progress. The Center for Medical Progress. They sent two agents in to pose as buyers of body parts. And they sent them to the Planned Parenthood Association. The Planned Parenthood, the full name of it, is the Planned Parenthood Federation of America, most widely known as Planned Parenthood. I believe that there's a misnomer there. It's not really what it should be called, but it should be called Planned Murderhood today, not Planned Parenthood. They don't care about parents at all. What happened? They sent these two agents in to pose as body part buyers, buyers of little infant organs, hearts, lungs, livers, just all manner of parts that could be purchased from babies, babies that have been aborted. Now, if you don't know, the Planned Parenthood is the largest provider of abortions in the United States of America. They slaughtered 327,000 babies this past year. Every 95 seconds, Planned Parenthood is responsible for the murder of a baby. I want to read you a few statistics this morning that I want you to sink right down into your head this morning. Listen to these numbers. Since 1973, there's been 57 million babies reported to have been aborted. 57 million babies murdered here in the United States alone, United States only. Now, I want to do something this morning, and I hope this don't disturb you too bad, but I want to show you something. Actually, I want you to be aware of something. Every 20 seconds here in the United States of America, there is a baby aborted. Every 20 seconds. I want to start this countdown. Every 20 seconds, another baby is aborted. Now, every time you hear this bell go off, that's another baby that's been aborted. I normally preach about 30, 35 minutes in a sermon, whatever the Lord lays in my heart. And typically, in that amount of time, 105 babies will die while I'm preaching today. 105. There's already been two that's been murdered right now. If you had seen the video of this undercover investigation that was took on, they talked to a lady named Deborah Nakatola. She's a senior director of medical services at Planned Parenthood. She, in other words, she's real high up in the hierarchy of Planned Parenthood. And if you watch this video as they sat and they talked with her over a lunch, as she ate salad and sipped on wine and nonchalantly discussed killing babies. Without any kind of remorse, any type of thought about it, and almost like it was almost a pleasure to speak of this over dinner as she stuffed her mouth and sipped on her wine and discussed crushing little babies, crushing babies. She mentioned the fact that they were very careful, that they had a list of things as they went into the abortion. As they went into the abortion, they had a list of parts that people wanted to purchase. The heart, the liver, the kidneys, the lungs, and other parts of the babies, the lower extremities she'd mentioned in times. And as she discussed this list of things, they would, before they would abort the babies, they would look down the list of all the parts they needed, and they would choose which baby they decided that they would salvage those parts from. Of course, they don't refer to them as babies. They're cells. They are things inside of a woman's womb. They don't really refer to them as babies. And as she discussed this and over dinner, she was talking about it like it was nothing but a piece of garbage. And so she agreed that they would be very careful not to crush the parts that were needed to purchase, to be able to sell to these medical companies that are using them for to transplant into other children or other people, to use them for test purposes, whatever it may be. As she discussed this, if you've been paying attention, that bell keeps going off every 20 seconds. Another baby has died every time you hear that bell. As she discussed this, she didn't mention that there was 487 million Planned Parenthood dollars is given to Planned Parenthood. $487 million that you and me, ex-taxpayers, is paying this company to kill little babies. That's what we're paying out of our pockets. That's taxpayer money, $487 million. They have 30 executives that work there that make $200,000 a year. $200,000. I don't know how many people in here make $200,000. I'm nowhere near that. Nowhere near it. It is an $8 billion a year industry. $8 billion is how much money that they amass into this wholesale slaughter of babies. They're responsible for over a third of all babies that are aborted in the United States. And if you've noticed, here in these past 3 weeks, as I've preached on these messages, we have a running theme. The theme is the people that are uncaring anymore of human life. Anymore, human life is meaningless. And, you know, I'd like to stand up here and give you a 15-minute sermonette and sing Kumbaya and then go to eat a Cracker Barrel. I'd love to be able to do that this morning. But that's not what God's called me to do. And I believe since you're sitting in this small independent Baptist church that still preaches from the King James Bible, still sings the old hymns, I believe that you're not expecting some little sermonette to pet your ears today. And so I want to tell you some things that God says about these little precious babies. In our opening text in verse 36, the Lord, we find Him saying, "All that hate me love death." Let those words sink into you really good. All that hate me love death. Friends, that word hate is a very powerful word. Hate is something that tears apart families. Hate tears apart relationships. It tears apart husbands and wives. It tears apart countries. It tears apart churches. But it tears people apart. Hatred separates. And that's what people are doing. They hate God and they want to be separate from God. And he says that because of this, they love death. I find here these folks that are in the abortion business. They hate God, but they love death. They are giddy over death and the money that it makes. Make no doubt about it, it is about money. It's not about planning your parenthood, because there's no parents involved here. After this baby is aborted, there's no parents needed. They're not interested in a woman's rights at all. They may claim that may be what it is. That's not what it is. They're interested in their pocketbooks. That's all they're concerned about. This word hate right here is used in our King James Bible. It comes from a primitive Hebrew root word, sene. Sene means a personal enemy or foe. If you hate God, you are His personal enemy. I want you to know today that if you're not saved, if you've never been saved and bought by the blood of Jesus, you are His enemy. You're in enmity against God. The Bible says so. So you hate God, and therefore you love death. I find that running theme throughout the abortion industry. I hate to even call it an industry, but it is. All they that hate God. You could have that say, all that hate God, the God of heaven, they love death. He says, all they that hate me. Love that. 2 weeks ago, I stood here and I preached a message about that touched on the subject of abortion. I mentioned Roe versus Wade in 1973, Norma McCorvey, the real woman's name, that it was all started with. And since that decision, I've already told you, 57 million babies have been slaughtered. In 40 years, 57 million babies slaughtered. You know, I remember back on September 11th there, we always call it 9/11. What was there, 3,000 people that perished in the Twin Towers up there in New York? 3,000 people. And we've still not forgot about it. You still mention that and people cringe and cry and talk about all the horrific things that was done to those innocent 3,000 people that died in those buildings. And yet nobody cares about the 3,000 people a day that die in abortion clinics. They don't care. They're never mentioned. It's swept right under the rug. Well, the first things that comes out of the mouth of these defenders of abortion and Planned Parenthood is that these are women's rights, that we think that women need to have the right to do with their bodies what they want to do. They don't refer to these as babies. They call them groups of cells. I heard one woman call them a lump of cells. A lump of cells. They're very careful to disassociate themselves with words that's going to connect them with a human living person. And so they use medical terms, and they use words that you don't normally use in real life to refer to little precious babies. If you watch the video of this lady that they were speaking to, she would not say the head. She wouldn't say that they crushed its head. You know what she referred to it as? The calvarium. This is the medical term for your skull cap. Instead of saying we go in and we crush their skulls, we crush their little heads, she says we crush the calvarium and then we pull it out. The calvarium. They want to change the wording so that it disassociates them with the reality of what they're really doing. Instead of using the words ripped or sucked, they use the word evacuate. We go in and we crush the calvarium and then we evacuate it from the womb. They're using all these medical terms to make it sound like something that is, you know, it's needful and right. So they use these selected terms to disassociate themselves from reality. No doubt it's to try to clear their conscience. Because their conscience, you better believe, back there on the back of that head, they know that what they're doing is wrong. But they are being given over to their own lust and their own flesh. Planned Parenthood made this statement about babies. Listen to what they said. Abortion is a treatment for unwanted pregnancy, the second sexually transmitted disease. How many people in here, how many women in here, how many times did you have your baby and you thought, well, look at that disease? To think that somebody could refer to a little precious baby as a disease. Friends, there's nothing lower on the face of this earth. That's something from the pits of hell, that a little precious baby be referred to as a disease.
Friends, a baby is something precious, is a gift from God. The argument is made that these clumps of cells inside of a woman's womb are just that. They're just cells. They're not living human beings. That they've not been formed or created. But I want you to know, according to my Bible, immediately upon conception, a human being is created. Upon conception, a human being is created. It's not a clump of cells. Oh, God may not have crafted the body together quite yet in those early stages, but it's still a human being. It still has a spirit and a soul. You better believe when God creates, when they join together in creation, He creates a spirit and a soul inside of a human being. Down inside that mother's womb that they refer to as a clump of cells is a human being that is made up of a spirit and a soul. Not only that, it is something that's been made in the image of God, in the image of God Almighty. A soul and a spirit. Jeremiah 1:4 says this, "Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." Did you understand that? What if God had said, while you were still a clump of cells, I did this, I formed thee. My word came to thee. I separated thee as a prophet when you were a clump of cells. When you were a disease, I did this. God did not say that. He's referring to a human being, a precious person that's been created. And He said, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee." While he was still these so-called cells, God knew him. He knew him. He was somebody. Not only did He know him, but He sanctified him. And He ordained him in the womb. Well, people look at that and say, "Pastor, is that all you got? You pull out this one little passage of Scripture, two verses there in the book of Jeremiah, the old prophet in the Old Testament. Is that all you got? You're going to have to do better than that." Okay. All right. What about Psalm 22 and 9? Psalm 22 and 9 says, "But thou art He that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly." King David understood that babies inside of a mother's womb was a real person. And that God knew them. They were real people. They had a spirit and they had a soul. Let's keep going. What about in the book of Isaiah? Isaiah chapter 49 and verse 1. The prophet referring to the Messiah, he says this, "Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people from afar. The Lord has called me from the womb. From the bowels of my mother has He made mention of my name." He called him from the womb, a real living person. The Apostle Paul, if you want to go to the New Testament, over in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 15, Paul says, "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace." The Apostle Paul understood the sanctity of life. He understood that the baby inside of the womb was a real person. Make no mistake about it, a human being that is upon conception has a spirit and they have a soul, and they are recognized by God as such. Not only are they a human being and have a spirit and a soul, but they are also a reward from God. A reward. Listen to what the Bible says in Psalms 127 and 3. Psalms 127 and 3. "Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." Did you see that? The fruit of the womb is His reward. Babies are a gift from God. Babies are a reward in the womb. Yes, God loves children. He loves babies. He loves them inside the mother's womb, and He loves them outside the mother's womb. He knows them. He forms them. He sanctifies them. He ordains them. He separates them. All these things we've seen in our Bible this morning, God does within the womb. But what about God-hating baby killers today? What about them? Friends, the Bible says that they love death. They delight in death. Let's read that opening text again. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. These God-hating baby killers, they not only love death, but they're sinning against God, against everything God teaches is holy and righteous. He says they're sinning against Him and wronging their own souls. Make no mistake about it. I fully believe unless they come to the knowledge of Christ and get saved, there is a place reserved for them special in hell where they will pay for murdering little babies. They will. Now, you may be cringing this morning at some of the language I'm using. And like I said, I'm not trying to offend you. I'm trying to get a point across of what God's Word says, of what He says. If it helps one single person in here, maybe one of these young ladies or young men that's in here today, if it helps one person understand the sanctity of life, I know some of you have been around a while, you're not planning on having any babies, maybe you've got grandchildren that will have babies or children. If it helps one person, it's worth offending all. All. Now, these words I use, the liberals, of course, they're going to call this rhetoric. Everything I'm saying today, they would not listen to. It'd be offensive. They would say everything I'm saying is a bunch of rhetoric. And no doubt anybody in favor of abortion is not going to be pleased with this message this morning. But we must sound the alarm. We must warn the wicked. Even these folks in the abortion clinics, I don't hate those people. I don't hate the mother that thinks that's their last resort. I don't hate those women that decide to do this. I don't. And God doesn't hate them. He loves them. God loves everybody. But friends, I want you to know, He hates that sin. He hates it. If you read over in 2 Kings 17, you'll find a description of the wickedness of the children of Israel, the northern kingdom, is being taken into captivity. And God gives a big list of the reasons they were taken into captivity. He names off several things. That they had set up false idols. They were bowing down to statues that were of these false idols. And they were breaking His commandments. And I mean, just a big list of things that they were doing back there, the children of Israel were doing in the northern kingdom. But listen to what He said specifically in 2 Kings 17 and 17. 2 Kings 17 and 17, the Bible says, "And they caused their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire, and used divination and enchantments, and sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord, to provoke Him to anger. Therefore the Lord was very angry with Israel, and removed them out of His sight. There was none left but the tribe of Judah only." So we know that what happened, because of their wickedness and evilness, and defying God, that He took them into captivity, allowed their enemy to take them. Only the southern kingdom of Judah was left, and they were going next because of their wickedness. But He specifically mentions what they were doing with their children. Do you get the correlation? You remember what our opening text said? Those that hate me, they love death. What was going on? These people, these children of Israel, even though they were God's separated and holy people, they were supposed to be holy people, they hated God because of all the things that He required of them to be a holy, peculiar nation. So because they hated Him, what? They love death. They love the death of their children. You know what they were doing? They were mocking their pagan neighbors. This Ammonite god that they worshipped there, his name was Moloch. Molech sometimes is referred to. But Moloch was this Ammonite god that they were worshipping. You could compare him on the same realm as Baal. It was Baal worship. But it was a god named Moloch. They erected these large brass structures. It was a statue kind of. But it was a burning pit, and it was made out of brass, and it was large, and it had the body of a human being with the underside belly that was cut out and hollowed out so they could build fires under. The head was shaped like a bull with horns, so it looked like a bull's head on top of a human body, and the arms were outstretched like this. And what these pagans would do, they would take their children to go down and worship Moloch, and they would start this fire underneath this golden brass statue.
and this fire would be heated up to an awful temperature. And they would take these children, they would lay them in the arms of the statue and watch them burn to death. They would burn their children alive in the arms of this Moloch, false idol. And as the baby would scream, they had people on both sides beating drums and playing instruments to drown out the screams of the babies. So as the baby would scream, they would all, it would be just one big disgusting worship service. It was a worship service to their god Moloch. As they would beat the drums and play the instruments, as the babies would scream until they died, and then they would roll them down into the pits of the fire until they were consumed. And they would watch the smoke come up out of the horns of this bull. Friends, that was what they were doing in that day. They were doing that. How many babies have died since I've been up here? This is real. This is real. Today, thanks to Planned Parenthood, people that want to burn their babies alive don't have to go down to a god named Moloch. Instead, they can go down to their friendly neighborhood abortion clinic. And they can go in there and they can have an abortion that's called a saline chemical abortion. I'm not going to go into all the dreadful details of what happens, but I want you to know they burn that baby alive inside the mother's womb. They send a saline solution in there and they burn that baby alive and then they pull it out. People are still sacrificing their children to Moloch today. This so-called pro-choice people, whom I refer to as God-hating baby killers, they claim that they're interested in women's rights, but they're not. They say that a woman should be able to do with her body what she wants to do, and therefore this is all legal. Make no mistake about it, in the eyes of the law of this land, what they're doing is legal. And that's exactly what they fall back on every time. But what we're doing is legal. It's legal. But what they're forgetting about is these precious little innocent babies that are inside this womb. Whether the law says that it's legal or not, God still holds this little baby as something precious and real and alive. How many of these little precious babies would have grown up to be women? How many of the babies that were aborted would have been women? What about those women's rights? A baby in that womb is in the most sacred place that God created. It's in the safest environment. It has no one else to protect it. It relies upon that mother to protect that little precious baby. It relies on that womb to take care of it, to nurture it, to prevent it from being damaged or harmed. It's a place that should be a safe place, safest place in the world. But yet they've turned it into a torture chamber. Our current president of the United States of America loves abortion. Now, I don't know who you voted for president, and I don't care. I'm not preaching politics this morning. I'm not going to tell you a candidate that I'm going to be voting for, but I'll tell you this. Anybody that I vote for, if they are pro-abortion, I will not vote for them. I will not vote for a man that is pro-abortion. That man hates God and he loves death. I believe that one day we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ and we will answer for the things that we've done, both good and bad in our bodies, what the Bible says. And I believe we will answer for those times that we checked off or we used the touchscreen or the little dial to make the selection and we said, are you for this candidate because he is pro-abortion? And we said yes. I believe we'll answer for that. I believe we'll answer for that. Now, I listened in horror yesterday to an interview with this lawyer who was pro-choice. That's the word they use, pro-choice. They should be calling it pro-murder or pro-abortion. She refused to accept the fact that there was anything wrong with going into a womb, taking a tool or chemical, violating the body of a child, cutting it up into little pieces and then taking a vacuum and vacuuming it out. She refused to believe there was anything wrong with it. She refused it. She kept saying over and over, it is legal. It is legal. And that's not a baby. She had absolutely no conscience that I could tell of. No remorse. No regrets.
and no value for human life. Now, what does the Bible say about this? Turn with me to the book of Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. We'll wind down this message this morning. Romans chapter 1, and we've read this probably for the last three Sundays, because this is so relevant for today. Romans chapter 1, and I want you to start with verse 22 this time, of Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 and verse 22, the Bible says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Now, you better believe these people that are in charge of these abortion clinics and these doctors and lawyers, they believe that they're very wise. But, old friend, the Bible says they're foolish. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and the birds and the four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Now, some of this deals with homosexuality or sodomy and things like that. But he keeps going on to say, who has changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient. Being filled, listen to these, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Did you see all those things that were listed there? Do you not see the abortion industry, the Planned Parenthood places, the clinics, what they are? The Bible says they're full of murder. They're full of these. They're haters of God. They're despiteful. And they're proud and they're boastful. That is what it is here in the last days. We are in the last days. And that's what's going on in this land today. My friend, God places high value on human life. He said that without natural affection. Do you know God puts natural affection into a mother? A mother has that instinct built into her to love that baby. Now, I'm a father, and I love my children, but I guarantee you, I don't have that same natural affection that my wife has for those children, because she carried them inside of her body. They are part of her body. They were in that womb that she protected them in. And God placed within this woman, these women, you ladies, He places within you this natural affection for these children. These people today that have no natural affection for their children. They've been given over. Not that God made them that way. They were already that way, and He gave them over to their own wants and lusts and desires. It was already their flesh that had done it, and God allowed them to do it. They've been given over. God places value on these. These 57 million babies have been aborted since 73. We're all made in the image of God. They were fruits in the womb. They were presents from Him. They were gifts of Him. And everyone is a miracle from heaven. I shudder to think of all the people today that are unable to have babies and will go to great lengths and spend great amounts of money to try to get a baby just so that they could keep it precious to them. The Dockrys, they're a great example. They spent all the money they had. They searched the world over to find a baby for them and had to go to another country to get a baby and paid all kinds of money to be able to do this so they could have a baby. And here there's people, every 20 seconds, another one is dying. Another one. So what happens? What do we do in light of this horrible sin that's being committed today? What do we do? Do we just keep up standing up here preaching about it and going, oh, that's awful. Oh, that's terrible. Oh, they shouldn't do that. Or are we going to sound the alarm? Are we going to be the Christians God expects us to be? And tell people about it.
and say, listen to what the Bible says about this. Let me tell you about these precious babies. Are we going to do anything about it? We're just going to keep sitting by and going, oh, that's awful. Oh, I wish they wouldn't do that. What about the abortionists? What about the abortion clinics? What about the people that work in there? What about them? What happens to them? Friends, if they don't get saved, they're going to go to hell. The only salvation for these folks is to know the Lord Jesus as their Savior. To repent of their sins, just like you and I. We may not be abortionists. We may not be pro-choice or pro-abortion. But I want you to know that we're all sinners. We all have a sin that separates us from God. And unless we get saved, unless we repent of our sins and trust Jesus our Savior, we too would go to hell. Same with these folks. They must repent of their sin, trust Jesus as their Savior, and they can be saved. God hates the sin, but He loves that person, and He'll save them. There is hope for them. The doctors, the nurses, the Planned Parenthood, these people making the $200,000 a year, God can save them. They can go to heaven one day, but only if they trust in the blood of Jesus. Everyone can have their sins forgiven. Each and every time, every single sin can be forgiven. Verse 35 said, "For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord." He told us that before He told us the bad part. So we all have hope. All this stuff that's going on today, we don't agree with and we don't understand. And I'm not condemning the women that have done this. I'm not condemning them. But I am saying they're sinful. And they need to repent of that sin. And God will forgive them. So there is hope. I'd like them to come to play the invitation song this morning. Let's stand and pray together this morning. Heavenly Father, we come to You today, Lord, just pouring out our heart to You. God, we've preached all that we can today. Lord, I pray that we've helped somebody today understand how important that You value human life. God, that we understand that there is forgiveness for sin. And God, even though one may be involved with something like that, God, or any sin for that matters, God, that there is forgiveness for them. Lord, You said that if we would repent and to trust in You as our Savior, God, You would save us. God, I'm asking You now if there's one in this building today that's struggling with sin. Maybe they've not been saved today. Maybe, Lord, they've never given their heart to You. God, would You convict them today and show them it's time, Lord, that they need to be saved. God, there may be one here today that is saved and is backslidden. God, they've gotten out of Your will. Maybe, Lord, they've been leaning toward the left. And God, they've gotten out of Your will. Lord, would You help them today? Would You convict their heart and show them the need to repent and come back to You? Lord, is there one? Every head's bowed, every eye closed this morning. If you need help this morning from the Lord, you come down.